Hale Varsity Magazine presents the Hale Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hale Varsity.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We get big, big!
We get big, big!
Boom, big, big!
Boom, big, big!
Hale Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you in on a Thursday. Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore. It's three-quarter zip day here on Hale Varsity Radio. TJ Henning, producing, engineering, contributing. Hope you're doing all right. Happy December. Wow. It's already December. That means bowl games and firings. Indiana. Abuse. Kevin Wilson. We'll dive into that. That shocked me. And much more on social media and reports. The press conference in an hour. Shockingly enough, we won't carry that for you. Hey, we have a working TV. I'm good now, okay? Jerry DiNardo will be with us in 15 minutes. Big Ten Network, get the coach's thoughts on Nebraska. Get the coach's thoughts on the Big Ten Championship game. Get the coach's thoughts on Indiana because he was there for 3 years. Gary Barnett, part of the Northwestern family, obviously. Kevin Wilson, part of the Northwestern family before going to Oklahoma for Big Game Bob. He was the offensive coordinator there under Coach Walker. And Gary's thoughts on this. Jacob Padilla will join us at HaleVarsity.com. Jacob all over the Nebraska-Clemson ball game. That's where we'll start. We'll get into this topic and discussion of gray area between the coach is too cranked up and psycho or the kids are too soft. Those are the sides of the argument. And there needs to be some gray area. Great point by Teddy Greenstein on Twitter with that because you have none. But we'll get into that discussion. Nebraska basketball last night had a meeting, got most of it in the car, got the latter part of the first half on TV, and then the second half watched it, and then just, man, it felt like they were going to find a way to, well, to come back and win it. Why do I say that? Because they were the better team for 35 minutes last night of the 40 minutes. And you feel bad for Ty that missed that runner. You feel bad for Glenn, who had 20 points and was great in the second half. And you feel bad for Morrow. And you just, those guys have been, for the most part, really good all year long. Okay, Jacobson was nice, kind of had a breakout game, which he needed. Man, Jack is struggling. Gil still struck. Gil is pressed. I feel, bless his heart. He's pressing so hard, and he's the one guy you would, not just the one, but he's one guy you would say, no worries if there's 10 seconds and it's helter-skelter out there. Kid that was good enough to go to Louisville will be just fine with 10 seconds left and a chance to do something. Nope. He goes Chris Webber and travels, okay, where you're dragging the pivot foot, except in the championship game, they don't call it, but gets busted for travel. Jack, non-existent. The effort's there for him always, yes, but there's no production going on. And meanwhile, your coach Miles, you're flipping out because you've probably gone over scenarios with freshmen 1,000 times in this world tour you've been on. And they go in and they still make mistakes. And you have a breaking point of frustration level where you eventually yell at them versus teaching them in a civil and normal tone. The yelling's more fun and animated, and that may or may not get your point across better. So, long, short story, you lose by two. You lost to a team that may win six games, I'm going to call it, in the ACC. A team that's upper level when it comes to the senior leadership. They're just not good. You go get that game. Don't feel awful anymore about the Virginia Tech loss because they won in Michigan last night. But Nebraska basketball, tell me, Jay Bird, tell me, TJ, your expectation level. Are you backing off the accelerator with Nebraska basketball 2016? And I'm not trying to overreact either the two losses or three straight losses. I'm not doing that. I'm just asking, you look at the talent, you look at the youth, you look at the excitement. And are you pumping the brakes on this team this year, or do you think going to be par for the course? They're going to maybe pull a couple of these out, but for the most part, they're going to just continue to struggle. And what looms next week is Creighton. Coach Mack would love to roll down I-80, drop 30, a 30-point win in Lincoln again. Is their number nine good now? And then there's Rock Chalk Jayhawk, who will open a can, most likely. They look amazing. You had your chances. Those were two winnable games, but specifically this one. And you got to finish. And you got to have guys step up. And Coach Miles has got to be extremely frustrated. He said the right things about he's encouraged. But I ask you two, are you encouraged about Husker basketball? Or are you discouraged? Or are you both telling me to screw off and get back to me halfway through Big Ten play?
I always tell you to screw off, but that's just normal. That's normal.
Choice C, always fill in letter C.
No, you know, at the beginning of the year,
it's a great schedule.
Well, my excitement level, I honestly wasn't that high.
You're still in football mode,
and my expectation level wasn't very high as well. I mean, I figured with the youth, really, we still don't have that shooter, that three-point shooter. That's what, to me, is just the biggest key. My basketball hot take, I mean, we don't have that guy that you can say, all right, we can get him a good look at three, and he has a legitimately, you know, at least a 50% chance of making it. We just don't
There's
have...
There's no Ray Gallegos right, we don't camping have, in the corner.
Or it's supposed to be Jack, and he's yeah, not he's just, at all.
Even Anton Gill, he's supposed to be a decent shooter.
Slasher.
He's struggling. I will say, though, watching Dayton, that was the first game I got to sit down and watch him. I was very encouraged. I was like, wow, mm-hmm. The energy was good. Ty looks much improved.
He looks different.
He's one of the best finishers to the hoop that, you know, we've had in a long time. But again, the lack of, you know, the shooting, I mean, Jordy will come along. He'll provide some height in there, but again, he's young. Mm-hmm. It's a tough position just to be thrown into a Big Ten type of play and say, hey, you know, go get us 10 and 10 every night. It's not you know, reasonable expectations.
Not going to happen until he's a junior.
But listen, they should have. I was very encouraged by watching UCLA. Yeah. UCLA's a hell of a basketball team. That's a great basketball team, and we hung with them. I mean, we had every right to win that basketball game. Should have beat Virginia Tech. I thought we were every bit as good as Virginia Tech. Should it be Clemson? I mean, we're every bit as good as those teams. I mean, we played damn well against UCLA. I mean, they're one of the best teams in the Pac-12, without a doubt about it. But I don't know. I think this upcoming week will tell us a lot. We'll be interested to see what the combined total losses are of Creighton and Kansas. It's going to be, I think.
You're already going there. I love it.
Well, it's
going to be an AK. How bad is it? Hospital stay or just stitches?
Look, come on. Listen, let's be honest. I mean, Creighton is damn good. I know they don't have their big guy. I mean, obviously, Kansas is number 4 team in the nation.
They're phenomenal.
I'm just a realist. I mean, it is what it is. But, I mean, wouldn't be surprised if they hang in there. I mean, they hung in at UCLA. Didn't have very high expectations for that one. And they had the lead for a little bit of that game, and within 2 points, within 5 minutes, I believe, towards the end of the UCLA game. So, listen, I mean, there's some things to be excited about it, but there's still the same issues, the inconsistencies in offense. Kind of a lot of the guys still stand around, like everyone's kind of like, who's going to do what? Are you going to score?
Scoring drought.
Who are you going to score? Careless with the basketball.
17 turnovers.
Lazy passes. Defense has always been a pretty good teams. Always for some reason we'll shoot halfway decent against us from three. It seems like, but we always play high energetic defense. That's kind of a Miles trait. But it's just the where has the offense gone? They go milk carton way too much. But until we need someone to step up that has legitimate threat at three. I mean, honestly, I'm surprised teams don't play zone against us more often.
I can't believe Clemson came out.
I'm like, what?
Can I pop in here about, speaking of zone, you're forced to do it with Nebraska defensively, especially against that height and size Clemson had. And what happens? For 70% of the game, you're okay. There's about 4 or 5 possessions out of the entire game where they miss, they get the offensive rebound. What did we say yesterday? Clemson can't get second chance and third chance opportunities, mm-hmm. and they had about a 3 or 4 possession stretch out of about 6 or 7 where they got momentum, they got the lead. Why? Because someone would brick the hell out of one, rebound by the big dude, kick out, open three, because everyone sucked in to help box out. No one got their hands on it. Kick mm-hmm. out three, son of a B. That's what was going on.
Yeah, I think they were, what, 6 of 7, 5 of 6 from three in the second half, Clemson? Yeah. And most of those were offensive rebounds.
It was off of 4 misses, it seemed like.
Yeah. Yeah, man, this Nebraska ball lifestyle, man. It's a lifestyle
full
of a lot of
about.
That was just kind of a crushing loss last night.
So are you out till they beat somebody of note?
No.
You'll watch because you're diehard. Yeah, once were almost trampled at PBA.
Yes, that's for sure. At the Bob, actually. But yeah, it looks like we're going to be probably 7-5 at the end of non-con here, 8-4 if we could pull off a miracle against Creighton somehow. But I felt really good about the team after that tournament out in California. Yeah. Like Jay said, they looked really good against Dayton.
Not
they looked
so
really
much
good
now.
Against UCLA. Va Tech and Clemson weren't that much better than us.
They're not better. And I mean, Clemson isn't.
We should have been up by about 10 or 12 in that first half last night instead of 4. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a big key.
Well,
of
and
why.
You were up 9, and then you couldn't mm-hmm. push it further. I'll say this, and I was whining about officials and don't blame the refs. I mean, I kind of had that take early, specifically with Ohio State, Michigan mm-hmm. this mm-hmm. week. Mm-hmm. Shut up about it and don't fumble. From a free throw disparity standpoint, I did – something comes over me. Like if I put my fan hat on for a second and I'm on the couch and I'm watching Nebraska basketball, and this goes back to the Danny Nee era, right? And I get so PO'd where short of getting shivved, there's no foul call. It seems like there's spurts and stretches. Mm-hmm. And Nebraska got bumper card around a ton.
Yeah.
A ton in the paint. There was no call whatsoever. You look at the dude cross-eyed because he's got buck teeth. Ah, there's a whistle on the other end.
Well, I think it was 17-6 foul disparity.
And Clemson shooting like 75% from the free throw line for the year.
You know, going in, it's going to be Moon River time on the road in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. If you're on the road, you got to have a 10-point buffer. You got to have that 10-point number that you're at. Mm-hmm. And if those two things don't happen, if you don't deal with the fouls, you'd be 10 points better than that, then you're going to lose every single time. And it just seemed like a couple of times, and I didn't, you know, wasn't Mr. Hess reffing, but it just seemed like it's time for me to, here's my cue, big momentum changing play of the game. Let's call a charge on Nebraska. And see, that thing just makes me irate. Mm-hmm. I wanted to start throwing stuff. And I know I'm not supposed to cheer, but my Lord, it's brutal. It's absolutely brutal. Can they not find better, egoless officials? Can we screen?
Well, it's just inconsistent.
Have you ever done time? Maybe. Well, do you have an ego? Yeah, I have a picture of myself on my back. I'm like Steve-O.
Were you ever a fan of this team?
Right.
Did you ever
have you ever been fired by a conference? Yeah? Come on down. We'll hire you in the Big Ten to coach to ref football. Yeah. So I don't know. Nebraska basketball. God forbid one of our favorite bald men ever comes in here Saturday and wins, Craig Smith. Because then that would absolutely pour gasoline out and someone would drop a smoky treat.
Yeah. I think they just lost at UMKC, so hopefully we'll be all right.
Kangaroos are tough. There were some years where Danny Nee's boys got the hell out of Dodge with 10-point wins on the road there where there was invite only. Craig Smith will be with us tomorrow on Hail Varsity Radio. All I say is don't give up and hang in with them. They are fun to watch. They're frustrating as hell to watch, but they're fun to watch too.
And I'd like to see our freshman guys just get some more run. I just think it'd be good for the future. Let's get Roby, let's get Shimonga, and Jariah Horn. I've been impressed with Jariah Horn. Yeah. He didn't play a minute last night.
Nope.
Searching more of Evan Taylor, is that his name, right?
Yep.
Yeah. For some reason I kept...
It's okay.
No, I thought someone said his name was Evelyn. I'm like, whoa, wait, what? Evelyn? I go, no, I'm pretty sure it's Evan.
I wouldn't fly. I would legally change that.
Yeah. So... He's been playing a little more, but
yeah, he's just kind of a defensive guy.
Yeah, no, he's just kind of a spell,
which is what Gill should be doing. But man.
Right.
Here's my question: is there a point where, if you coach Miles, you kind of just drop the leash, not even keeping them on a short leash with the freshmen, because you feel pressure to win, obviously, mm-hmm. and you're still working on lineup, you're still working on chemistry, you're still trying to get these kids acclimated, strength and conditioning, and just strength wise. In part of the team. Mm-hmm. But at some point, you just got to let them play. It's kind of like jerking quarterbacks around where right. you bench a guy and bring in the second team.
Baptism by fire there.
Yeah, you just got to let it ride. And if you there's a point where it does you no good to overcoach and rip them. And mm-hmm. I'm not suggesting that's going on, but if we keep seeing their 90-second line change with these freshmen – it's not going to make them any better. It's going to mess them up more mentally, and you're going to get nothing production-wise anyway.
Yeah, we don't have the luxury of redshirting.
So just let
it
ride.
Out there.
Yeah. Bet black or red and spin the wheel.
Fitty-fitty.
Fitty-fitty, right. And that's where it's at. I mean, you got a guy in Gill. God, he's been a pinata, and I'm sorry. But he has three fouls in like 5 minutes in the second half. Whatever. All
that's
right.
Style of basketball.
We'll talk... Kevin Wilson. We'll talk Big Ten Championship. Uncle Jerry, Coach DiNardo next on Hail Varsity.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Jerry DiNardo with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. And, Coach, a shocking development in Indiana. That news came out earlier today, press conference in a little bit. And, Coach, thanks for the time today. You coached at Indiana, and you know the program well. You know Kevin Wilson. And according to social media, off the field, not on the field, and ESPN reporting that five IU players interviewed about Coach Wilson's treatment. Coach, what's your reaction to the news and the development today?
Well, you know, obviously I'm shocked like everybody else, Chris. And I, you know, I don't know what Kevin did. I'm going to wait for the press conference like everybody else. I do say this though. This was Tim Beckman's demise as well at Illinois. I don't know any coach that doesn't listen to the medical staff. So I don't know where
gotcha.
And how all of this started. And I'm not saying what Kevin did. All I know is that when a trainer or a doctor says he can't play, he can't play. And when they say he can't practice, he can't practice. Now, I'm an older generation than these present coaches. You would think that we were the ones that said, hey, you're going to play no matter what. That doctor doesn't know what to talk about. I didn't grow up around any coaches like that. I don't know any coaches like that. So I find this whole thing, not Kevin specifically, but if it's true, I find this whole thing very disturbing that we're putting children that are in our care in harm's way. You can't do that. And again, I'm not saying Kevin did it, but if that's what this is all about, this is a lesson for everyone to pay close attention to. These are children.
Jerry DiNardo with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Jerry DiNardo on Twitter. Coach, with the climate in sports today, and you just said you grew up around coaches that weren't forceful, it sounds, but you also played for and coached with guys that were super intense. Do you think today's generation has a hard time with over-intense, perceived to be over-intense coaches? I mean, is that a battle that goes on?
Not necessarily. You know,
okay.
I don't think being intense and abuse are synonymous. You can be intense without being abusive. I mean, there's probably chemistry teachers that are really intense. They're very focused and they're demanding and they're specific and they're attentive to detail. I don't think that's abusive. I would say, you know, Urban Meyer is a pretty intense coach. Mm-hmm. I think Kevin Wilson is a pretty intense coach. I've never seen either one of those people do anything close to, you know, what was considered abuse. So are young people afraid of intensity and all that? You know, not in my experience, Chris. Now, maybe I've got my head in the sand. You know, this thing's caught me a little bit off balance as well. I don't get it, but I don't blame the young people. I blame the old people, if it's the adults, if in fact this is going on. I don't blame the young people.
No, absolutely. But the other side of it is the taking to coaching, that battle. I mean, you take me through your experience with setting the tone of I'm the sheriff, I'm the boss. That should be understood, but it might not always be understood. Is that a constant battle for college coaches today?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think the best coaches are the ones that said, I am teacher. And, you know, I will bring you to places that you can't bring yourself. And I'll do it in a respectful way. And I'll do it while honoring you. And I got to know your family when I recruited you. And I'll treat you the way I said I would treat you when I was in the home. I think that's the majority of coaches. You know, is there some loss of tempers on practice fields? Of course there is. Is there language perhaps that we all wish we didn't use and we use at a time we wish we could do it over and all that? Yeah, of course everyone makes mistakes, but, you know, abuse is a significant accusation and I don't see it going on. And again, we're way off the subject of Kevin Wilson other than he brought the subject up. So I'm not talking about Kevin because I don't know what the heck he did. But the great majority of coaches I see, I think they're true professionals.
Jared Donato with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Gabe Eichard played for Kevin Wilson. He's on Twitter, and he specifies an incident where Kevin Wilson once ripped off his helmet, spit on his jersey, pushed me in the chest during practice. But Gabe, and I don't know Gabe at all, I just know that he played at Oklahoma for him. But Gabe was like, yeah, I kind of needed it, paraphrasing. Great guy. He took me to different heights. Is that over the line? Spitting, probably not a great thing, obviously. But I'm saying there's moments in football. You know how physical this sport's got to be.
No, that's over the line, Chris. I don't care what you're doing. No,
okay.
I don't think you put your hands on a player like that. I would describe that behavior as abuse.
Okay.
That to me is abuse. That is not acceptable. That is not intensity. That anyone that thinks that that's the definition of intensity is wrong. I think that is the definition of abuse. Now, obviously, the player that Kevin that is talking about Kevin doing that when he was at Oklahoma, maybe it's okay for him. I would not allow that to be done on my staff, and I would not put my child in the hands of someone that would do that. That's abuse.
Coach, let's move on. Penn State, Wisconsin, how excited are you for Saturday?
I'm very excited. I almost can see the dome. You probably heard my GPS speaking to me earlier. You know, what a great matchup. Two equal teams, two great stories, probably not only in the Big Ten, but college football this year. Chris, how about two coaches of the year?
Yes.
How about that, huh? They split the vote. One gets the media. One gets the coaches. Saquon Barkley, just an incredible athlete. Some of the guys on defense for Wisconsin. I mean, it really is a great matchup. You know, obviously, they may not be the two best teams in the conference, or they may be. I mean, that's been a debate that we're all tired of talking about, I think. But what a great game.
It'll be a big-time game. I mean, Penn State's so hot right now. Their offense has stepped it into a completely different gear. Wisconsin's been incredible defensively all year, and their run game's been tremendous. And if you look at – can you give me an advantage, Coach, if you're looking at this thing just real quick on why Wisconsin can win and why Penn State can win?
Well, I think Penn State can win because they're more explosive on offense than Wisconsin. So if it gets into a little bit of a scoring battle, I think that plays to Penn State's favor. I think Wisconsin wins if they can find a way to play defense the way they've been playing it all year against an option team. Because I spent Tuesday up at Penn State. I spent Monday and Tuesday at Penn State, but I spent Tuesday in the office. And I did a film session with Trace McSorley and went through this option spread attack. And we even talked about how it's similar to the wishbone. This Penn State attack will make a defense play assignment football. In fact, a lot of defenses, I think Jay's with us, a lot of defenses, mm-hmm. when they prep against a option attack during the week, they don't even use the football. Now, think about that. We're practicing defense, and the ball isn't mm-hmm. the issue. The assignment's the issue. Who has dive? Who has quarterback? Who has pitch? And that's what Penn State makes the defenses do. If Wisconsin can find a way to play aggressive defense like they have all year and at the same time be assignment football, I think that gives Wisconsin an edge. So to me, those are the two biggest factors.
Coach, looking at Penn State, I know they were struggling. I know James Franklin, people were frustrated with him, but he had some offensive line issues, obviously with recruiting and going through the NCAA sanctions they're going through. He had to build some talent. Is it simple enough to say he's got the offensive line going to where he is, or is that quarterback running back duo right now kind of make up for those misses at offensive line?
Well, I think it's, Jay, I think it's quarterback running back duo. But again, remember, by definition, if you run the option, you gain a blocker, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not blocking a defender. You're optioning a defender. So, and one of the things James said this summer is this new offense will help our offensive line. It'll create more double teams, and it'll create more zone schemes, and that's exactly what it's done. But, Jay, also at the same time, the offensive line has gotten better. Matt Linegrover, who was at Minnesota with Jerry Kill, who I thought was one of the best offensive line coaches I've been around, Tracy fired him. He's a Pennsylvania guy, and he went right to Penn State as soon as he was fired. He's been a terrific addition to that staff as well. When you look at these two staffs, Jay, between Moorhead and Linegrover, and then Wilcox and Leonard on the Wisconsin defensive staff, these are great decisions. This is a couple of reasons why these two coaches deserve Coach of the Year. They've made incredible coaching hires that have put them in this position.
Coach, about 90 seconds, Nebraska-Iowa. I know you've been busy with Big Ten Awards this week, and you have Kevin Wilson, and it's been busy. But Nebraska just got mauled physically by Iowa. Were you surprised?
Yeah, I was surprised. Now, I have not studied the game. I've seen very little of it, so I really don't have a great feel for it. It's going to be something I'm going to try to do next week just because I'm curious, not because I'm prepping for anything. But I was surprised. You know, the only thing I'd say, you know, I think we all would feel like if Mike Riley makes the same adjustments between year two and year three as he did in year one and year two, you know, we'll be talking about Nebraska going to Indianapolis next year as well. So it's just going to take him a little time to get this thing the way he wants it.
Coach, Indiana goes where? About 45 seconds.
I think they go Tom Allen on staff for the bowl, and I wouldn't be surprised. Tom Allen was the head coach of Ben Davis here in Indianapolis, not far from where I'm parked right now. I wouldn't be surprised if they stayed with Tom Allen. He proved he could coach the defense. He's had head coaching experience on the high school level. He's an Indiana guy. That wouldn't surprise me. After that, you know, it's anybody's guess, guys.
10 seconds. Do the Buffs get it done against Washington?
I don't think so. I think Washington wins that one. I haven't seen them both a lot, but the little bit I've seen them, I think Washington's the better team. They'd have to help Colorado beat them.
Coach, enjoy Indy. Thanks for your time today. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Jay.
Thanks, Coach.
Jared Nardo with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Safe driving demands your full attention. One of every three traffic fatalities in Nebraska, alcohol-related. Many of those drivers involved were buzzed while driving. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Office of Highway Safety. We'll get into the topic of player abuse shortly. Gary Barnett, 20 minutes away. And Jacob Padilla, Nebraska basketball thoughts next hour. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore. Great stuff from Jerry DiNardo. Was pulling up to Lucas Oil as we talk to him, getting ready for the Big Ten title game. His thoughts on Kevin Wilson and Nebraska. Coach Barnett will be with us in 25 minutes. Jacob Padilla also on the way. Your chance coming up, the Holiday Hail Mary with ESPN and Hail Varsity. Your chance to qualify for that. We'll get you qualified also for HailVarsity.com premium online subscription. That before we say goodbye, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Bird, you've played in the NFL. Bird, you've played for Nebraska, two different staffs. You have been very honest about how physical that first year under Callahan was, coming back from year one to two to get you guys tougher. You came into a pretty rigid, and I don't mean that negatively, but just kind of the Osborne way where everyone's practicing at a station when Frank took over. Right. That was inherited, and he also played for Bo. What conduct is fireable to you? Because you're blue collar, you're throwback, you're a guy that can take getting cussed at. You're a guy that wanted to be his best and was his best. So you're not one to want a participation ribbon.
No, definitely not.
And you're one to get taught, and you're one that has probably been motivated by soft talking and loud yelling. And maybe someone grabbed your neck roll once. I don't know. What's fireable to you?
Right. Well, things have changed, obviously. I think
for the better.
I think we are now in, everyone's sue happy. I'm going to sue you. I want money.
Not Indomican.
Well, exactly. Yes, not S-U-H. valid point. Universities
and
now.
He's handing out beatings.
Right. Universities now have to protect their tail. So, for instance, if Kevin Wilson's forcing kids or trying to get kids to play through concussions, now that's probably fireable, because we know there's evident research, there's data that's showing that with brain damage and everything like that. I mean, with NFL lawsuits that have happened, universities are going to protect their back ends without a doubt. So that now
that's what popped Leach.
Yeah,
just the mere accusation, no
right,
proof.
Right.
And if you're going to blow out a coach like Kevin Wilson, I'm going devil's advocate here. You better damn well have sure proof that he's forcing kids to play. Yeah. As concussion, not five.
Listen,
not five unhappy guys that got pissed because he shoved them.
Right. I don't think that's a fireable offense. I mean, hey, you should. I mean, if you're not doing your thing, you should be able to get kicked in the ass. Kick it in gear. That's to me. You. I'm trying to get you to do something. Here, as a coach, I'm putting myself in a coach's shoes. Okay, I've tried this, didn't work. I've tried this, it didn't work. I've tried screaming at your face, it didn't work. I pulled you off 1-on-1 to our meeting room and talk to you calmly, man to man. That didn't work. What other options do you have? Because
throw basketballs at him. Sorry.
Go Rutgers style. I'm invested in you. The school's invested in you. I need some return. I need some ROI here. Okay? And I'm not getting it. And I care about you. I want you to be your best. I'm out of choices here, pal. So guess what? I'm gonna kick you in your ass to try to get you going. And that should be fine. Listen, that's the way I look at it. If I'm a kid, you know what? Be coachable. Listen, do the things that you're asked to do. I have no problem with a shove, with a grabbing of the face mask, a grabbing of the jersey. Now, spitting, I don't like that.
What if it's mint skull?
I might puke in your face. That to me is this that gets a little that would piss me off as a player. But listen, I think. Don't get me wrong. I think the culture is it's a softer culture.
It's oversensitized.
Yeah, it is.
Now, the concussion thing, yeah, you get one or two too many, and you're a mess at age 40 or sooner. That
sure.
There's evidence, there's data that show that. I think we're on the same page with the concussion protocol and how dangerous and serious it is and how it was ignored for years. I think we're totally on the same page there. But if you're blowing your assignment and coach gets mad at you and grabs your face mask or grabs your jersey or sprays you, doesn't go sea bass, mm-hmm. but sprays you while
right.
he's talking because
right.
he's
That's,
yelling.
That happens, yeah.
If you get MF'd, if you get yelled at, if you get told you're the reason your high school football team was 3-9, whatever, man up and deal with it. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I always, you know, the best way to feel good about practice is to get them to stop yelling at you. Mm-hmm. That's just my theory from years of being yelled at mm-hmm. by, you know, my mom and dad are awesome people, but I wanted them to stop yelling about how bad I was at math. And they should have been yelling at me.
Right. Get better
Guess
at
what?
Math.
Get better at math or sit by the smart kid.
Right. Right.
But there's two options.
You work on your cheating skills.
Work on my side view. So listen, I think it's an oversensitized climate, and I think there's two types of kids. Yeah, kids, let's take a walk-on from Nebraska. He's a guy who's had to kick ass every day. Get up, do chores, and go to school, then go to practice, come home, take care of the family. It's important. Repeat. The rural work ethic. Mm-hmm. He's had to kick butt every day. And then you get some studs that have sick athletic ability. They've had their butt kissed every day. Those are the two types of kids you're dealing with. There's probably some gray area in between, but you need the ones that have had to kick butt they've had to kick butt every day. They need to rub off on the ones that have had their butt kissed mm-hmm. every day.
Yeah, it's just
I hope this isn't a coup because five or six players are upset. And if that's the instance, and we'll know more here in an hour, less than. Listen, I can't have four or five underclassmen mad about playing time. Manufacture stuff. And I'm not saying that's what happened, but I need some senior locker room leadership before you go to the administration. Mm-hmm. I need some in-house discussions with the Unity Council or whatever the hell Indiana has, if they have it, and talk it out before you go get rid of a coach that the you talk to some big time coaches and they swear by him. And they think he's an excellent coach, and he's gotten results in an impossible place to win.
Mm-hmm. Coaches have their own ways. We had Stuart Swigert on the week we played Purdue, and he talked about how Joe Tiller put him through literally the day they got beat on a Saturday. They had to come in that Sunday and practice in pads and scrimmage because he was so pissed that they played so poor. I mean, that's crazy, but that was just, 13 years ago, mm-hmm. or 12 years ago, 2003, 2004, when Stu was a senior? I mean, things like that, I mean, that's not going to happen anymore, but
if your coach feels like it needs to happen, it should be able to happen.
Right. But I'm to the point of, I mean, again, there's boundaries, but I mean, listen, if that's what
Who's
what
running
Gabe,
the show?
Right, exactly. If that, Gabe Eichert, if that's what happened, I mean, I disagree with Coach Gennardo. I mean, I don't have an issue with that. I mean, did he respond well? Did it work? Perfect.
Is he thanking him years later?
Right. I don't know. I mean, we just had a discussion with my wife. You know, we're about to have our first kid, you know. How are we going to handle, you know, the spanking thing? Bet your, you know what, that's, I mean.
Spanking worked on Carson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And his mom. Hail Varsity continues.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN. Or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Gary Barnett, 10 minutes away. Chris Schmidt, Jay Moore, TJ Henning. Text line 88474 from the stream. My mother on a golf cart in Arizona. I'm sorry for yelling. I know you are. I deserved it. Kevin Wilson is out. We'll get thoughts on that from Coach Barnett. Also the Big Ten Championship game and the Pac-12 title game. I'll probably be at the Zipline Saturday.
It's a good spot.
Yeah, hit that up before the Big Ten Championship game. Zipline Brewing. Go see Marcus and your friends at Zipline. Brewed in Lincoln, but poured for all of Nebraska. If you haven't tried a Zipline beer yet, there's always time, like tonight. Start finding a beer you like. 40 different styles, one for your taste. Nationally recognized IPA. Jay Moore says cheers to that. Gold medal winning, copper old. Record sales the last 4 years. Let's make it 5. when you see your friends at Zipline. The Westo Tap House is there for you if you're coming into town the holiday season. The new, modern German beer hall is what you need to find this holiday season, 56th and Pine Lake. 24 taps, neighborhood bar with community tables. You'll meet someone new, and they're likely a Nebraska fan. Available on draft or in six packs across the state. Pick up some Zipline today at your local grocery store or bottle shop, no matter where you're at in Nebraska along the Hail Varsity Network. And check out their two tap rooms, Monday through Saturday, noon to 10. 56th and Pine Lake, Sunday, noon to 6. But make Zipline Brewing a part of your holiday season. 466-377-6800. 825-5865. We'll wrap up this conduct that is fireable. You don't want for it, and you don't wish it. And this isn't Bob Knight choke out Neil Reed. Mm-hmm. Or go, you know, growing punch. But if you got to put your arms on a kid's shoulder, I get it. I mean, I kind of get it. I really do get it. If the kid's not listening, I'm not talking four below. I'm talking if you're in college. There needs to be some sort of ability to motivate. There also needs to be checks and balances as to, are you psycho?
Right. Well, there's always... Listen, I think every coach just knows.
How long would Woody Hayes be in jail for?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, seriously.
No, you're right. But every coach has.
But to a man, most swear they love him.
No, without a doubt. Every coach knows that button that every player has. Some players, you got to tell them once. Some players, you got to yell at them. Some players, you got to take them off to the side. I mean, I've had all three. I've been yelled at. I've been taken into a meeting room and talked one-on-one and tell, you know what, you got to pick it up. You're not producing where you should be producing. You need to kick it up a notch. Okay, so I kick it up a notch, you know, and then you could go by it, and if you drop down again, then they'll say something to you.
Did that earn more respect you to them?
Yeah, well, because I always say, when they say something to you and they yell at you, they care. They want the best for you. And I'm glad they did it because it turned me into a much better football player.
It's Jay Moore, Blackshirt Jay, Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. Caller 6 right now, the holiday Hail Mary. Caller 6, 466-377-6800, 825-5865. Caller 6 now, holiday Hail Mary. Qualify now.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get
beat, beat.
We get beat, beat.
Boom,
beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore. TJ Henning, producing, engineering, contributing. Welcome in. Great coach at Northwestern and Colorado, Sports USA Radio Network, Buff Radio Network. And off to L.A. for the Pac-12 championship game with Washington and Colorado. Gary Barnett with us at Coach G. Barnett on Twitter. Coach, thanks for the time today. How are you?
I'm doing well, Chris. What's going on in Lincoln, Nebraska?
It is getting cold, much colder than it had been. I'm trying to kind of figure out where Nebraska will go bowling-wise. That Iowa game was something awful if you're a Nebraska fan because they got bludgeoned and out-physicaled. Yeah. And that's kind of where we're at. And Nebraska basketball is something that's been on our mind. They're kind of fun and exciting, but they haven't finished the last couple of games. So there is that. What have you been up to?
Hey, just, doing the games and getting ready for another game Friday night. And it's in Santa Clara. They're up at Levi Stadium. When you live in Nebraska, you don't know the rest. You don't know that West Coast very well.
Nebraska knows Santa Clara from last year. So.
Oh, that's right.
I lived right there for a few years, Coach.
Okay, well, obviously Chris did. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I want to generalize there.
Thank you. Yeah, the whole map thing, that's a good joke. I want to get your thoughts here on a topic and discussion that's pretty serious. And what's your relationship first? What's it been like with Coach Wilson? Did you have crossover with Northwestern? Give me a little background, if there is any.
Well, you know, I always missed Kevin. When I say missed him, our paths never really crossed. He came to Northwestern with Randy Walker when I left, mm-hmm. and I knew Randy. I did not know Kevin. I have met Kevin, and then from there he went to Oklahoma. And of course, I coached against him when he was at Oklahoma, but we didn't spend a whole lot of time. So, you know, I think Kevin has been a pretty intense guy, and always, and I think he had a real intense relationship on each one of the staffs that he was on. I don't know whether abrasive would be the word. I know that he's intense, and I know that he was. I think he was a hard guy to work with,
okay.
And for. But that's true of a lot of people. So I don't know that much, and I wasn't aware of anything going on at Indiana. I know that he had been hard to work with for some people at Miami of Ohio and then again at Oklahoma and as well as Northwestern. But I had not had any feedback as far as Indiana.
Coach, what's the line in 2016 between abuse and being intense? What do you think it is?
Well, it's... just reading up on Kevin today, they interviewed players, and I don't think they said anything in detail other than the one kid that had had a concussion and then he was made to run afterwards. Whether that's Kevin or whether that's the training staff or whether it's the strength and conditioning staff, mm-hmm. I don't know. But I think it's a fine line, because what used to be just regular stuff is now considered abusive. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure. I think any time that you lay a hand on someone, any time that you treat someone in a way that you don't want to be treated, that it probably crosses the line. And I don't think that's unreasonable, by the way, either. Mm-hmm. The whole, anytime you touch a player, and I know that's changed. And when Jay played, I'm sure it was, he's got a lot of examples, and I know I did, and probably when I was a young coach, probably. But you can't touch a player. You really have to be careful with what you say, I think. And I don't think that's wrong. I think it's pretty reasonable what you should do and what you shouldn't do. And sometimes, especially in that atmosphere, you can lose your temper and lose control a little bit, but that doesn't make it reasonable. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what it should be, and I agree with it.
Coach, as a player, I know I was never physically, touched or anything like that. I don't know. It's hard to say if I'd had a problem with it or not, because it never happened, but I've yelled at plenty of times. I know that. And my thing was, once the coaches stop yelling at you, it's either because you're doing your job or because they stop caring. So as a coach, did you have a systematic kind of way you handled it, or did you handle each player differently? Because obviously every player is wired differently, and they have different buttons, and you know how to push those buttons. Did you have kind of one way of handling it, or did you handle every player individually different in every instance?
No, I tried to handle every player differently, because they all come from different backgrounds, and but with the same set of standards, if that can be done. Mm-hmm. But and I'm like you, I don't. I was never touched. I've had my face mask grabbed, mm-hmm. And that sort of stuff. But No, I you know, there's kids that understand and reasonably understand things, but you know, most of it on the football field, as long as it's not personal, as long as you're okay. But and the way that the things that I handled individually had to do with the way they might respond to certain things, because some kids lose it. And it might be because of the way they were raised, or it may be because of some other things. And you just have to know everything about them. But there's always consequences, and you've got to hand out the consequences. But you got to understand where they're coming from. And sometimes you may have to explain to other players. You know, I had a player, for example, Colorado, that was a really hard to deal with player. Really hard, but his background and where he'd come from, and it was unbelievably bad. And so I gave him a little more leash than I would some other guys, because he just didn't have the training. You know, he didn't have no one really had taught him some of these things that were right and wrong. And so it was up to me and our staff. We had to do that. So. And it wasn't like that with everybody. It just is an occasional thing. But I think you've always got to understand where everybody comes from.
Coach Gary Barnett with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, let's talk Nebraska for a second before we get into the weekend games. Nebraska needs to be more physical. And to do that, you need to practice more physical. And there's been an issue this year with injuries, specifically on the offensive line. And everyone deals with them, but Nebraska was decimated by it. How does Coach Riley get more physical Monday through Thursday or Sunday through Thursday and walk that fine line of being worried about injuries? How do you juggle it is my question.
Well, I think that's really, really difficult at this point in time in the year. I think, first of all, I have told teams that they weren't physical enough. And they were offended. And if the team and if the team leadership says we're not physical enough, or if that team is really buying in to you as a coach or into Mike as a coach, and Mike says, I really believe we need to be more physical, here's my plan. If everybody agrees, then, you know, there's some things that you can do. You can address it at this time of year, but not very much going into a bowl game. Now, if within that team, those players decide they need to be more physical, then that's when they need to tell Mike, and they need to say, we've got to do more things to get physical. But this time of year, getting ready for a bowl game, I don't know. I think that's really a tough deal. And unless those players are in total agreement and those players think they need to play more physical and therefore they need to practice more physically, then it isn't going to happen. You've got to wait until off season and end of the spring to start that sort of a move, I think. Jay, I'd be interested in your response to that.
I mean, I know going from year one with Callahan to year two, we completely changed the way we practice. We had more of an NFL mentality in practice his year one, you know, rightfully so, where he came from. But year two, we scrapped it. We got after it. We did Oklahoma drill every day during spring practices, and we finished every spring drill with about a 12-play scrimmage. And then we continued to do Oklahoma drill going into that season in individual period, O-line and D-line. You got two reps of just one-on-one with offensive linemen and defensive linemen, about a three-yard in between, and you ran into each other head up, and you tried to fit and get a perfect, you know, hands inside, fought hand placement. You'd go back, and they wouldn't blow the whistle for 10, 15 seconds. And this happened before every padded practice.
Now, were you in agreement that it needed to be more physical, that your program needed to be more physical if you were going to win?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, I think as players, you don't know, but you just trust them. I mean, we needed it. It made me a much better football player. I'll tell you that. I've never could have gotten to where I was as a player and to be drafted if that didn't happen. I need to be more physical. I think it showed defensively. We switched from an over front to an under front, and we need to play better up front because it was just a different way of playing, and we had to be more physical. Otherwise, there was no ifs, ands, or buts about it, and it's just he flipped it. He completely flipped it. I don't think Bill wanted to do it because he wanted, because that's what he came from as an NFL coach, but he knew to get better and to get Nebraska to where he wanted us to go, he had to do it.
Yep. And you know, doing it in 2 weeks, 15, 14 practice, 13 practice, that's really hard to do. I think it's got to be almost a player decision. I mean, a locker room decision more than anything else.
Coach, want to get your take here with the college football playoff. Where do you sit with the Big Ten? Should they get two in?
You know, I think that depends on what happens. If Clemson's out or if Washington is out, then perhaps.
Okay.
You know, I think back to this Oklahoma State deal where, the Central Michigan game where they really got a bad deal on that call. And at the time we thought, well, it was a bad call and too bad. And this, you know, we didn't think about what the circumstances or consequences could be now 12 weeks later. But now it comes down to, should they win against Oklahoma and one of those teams drops out, they would have been a 11-1 team with good wins and would be in there. So I think about that a little bit, but I don't know. I think it just depends on what happens with Washington and what happens with Clemson. I think if they're both out, then probably Michigan should go in. But I don't really like, as you guys know,
right,
this is a personal thing, but the whole Ohio State getting in without going to the championship game, I got a little bit of an issue with. I can't say where I learned that, but I do have an issue.
We won't rehash that for you. Coach, about 90 seconds here. Colorado, Washington, what do you think of that one?
You know, Washington is a really good football team. They have a lot of good players, and they probably have more really star power players than Colorado. Colorado's one all conference player, and Washington has 9 out of the 22. They're 9 of them, and so you know they're going against probably recruiting wise, everything else wise, what you would think would be better players. But when you look across compared scores to similar opponents, you look at the stats defensively, and especially scoring defense, total defense, passing efficiency defense, and all those, then they're neck and neck. There isn't much difference between these teams. I like Colorado's, just the whole attitude thing of being an underdog going into this game. I've always worried about them all year being favored by so many points in all these games, and now they got a little bit of an edge and an attitude and a chip maybe going in. I think it could be a really good game. But Colorado's going to have to play. If they play better than Washington, they can win the game. Now, sometimes you can play better, but you can't win. Mm. But this is one of those games where if they play better than Washington, they can win the game.
30 seconds, Penn State, Wisconsin.
I think Wisconsin wins the game. I can use 30 seconds talking about it, but that's just a gut-feeling defense. You know, it's interesting. I'll try to be quick with this, but in the Big 12, the best defense is Kansas State. They're ranked 35. The second best is West Virginia, ranked 58. And then Oklahoma, 68. Oklahoma State, 67. But then there's four teams in the top 10 that are also four in the top 10 in defense, and they're all in the Big 10. So defense wins it, and I really like Wisconsin's defense.
Coach, we'll run you down and get your reaction next week to the bowl pairings and the playoff. Thanks for coming on. We love catching up with you. Appreciate you.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Coach.
Take care. Gary
Bye-bye.
Barnett with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Again, that whole conference title thing.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Back in Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's talk some Husker hoops. Jacob Padilla, Hail Varsity Jacobpadilla.com magazine and at Jacobpadilla underscore. Jacob, thoughts on the game against Clemson last night? 9-point lead, hit the first six out of the gate in the second half, and just couldn't finish, got looks. I'm encouraged, but, man, there's also a high level and percentage of discouragement. That was one you had to have.
Yeah, that's definitely a tough one to swallow. And I think you look down the stretch of that game, a couple of guys are really going to want some possessions back there. Glenn Watson on the second-to-last possession there got two chances to try to get the score they needed. And he created a shot on the first one, didn't go in. They got the ball back, and then he just kind of panicked and just threw something up under the basket that really had no shot of going in when they still had a good amount of time left on the clock. And then that led to Anton Gill's travel where he just kind of wasn't sure what he was doing. And that's situations where the coach not being able to call a timeout really hurts teams. And then, again, on Ty Webster's last shot, he gets a decent look, a floater down the lane, doesn't go. And I guess Tim Miles said he was trying to get him to call a timeout too, but Ty couldn't hear him. So it's just it's one of those late-game closing situations that young teams kind of have to figure out, and they just didn't have it last night.
Jacobpadilla with us, Hail Varsity, talking Nebraska basketball. So you lose one to Virginia Tech, you led, and then you lose one to Clemson. Virginia Tech looked a little better. They got a great win at Michigan last night in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. What's your take on Clemson? One-star player, veteran squad, but are they going to be threatening, in your opinion, for a tournament berth in March, or are they maybe a sixer or below ACC team flirting with the NIT? Who did Nebraska just lose by 2-2?
Yeah, it's tough to know that this early in the season. They got two losses, and they're both 6 points to some good teams. So they were in those competitive games there. I think the last one was to Oklahoma, and then the other two, Xavier, I think.
Yep.
So those are some good teams that they played with. But the problem is you look at them, and so far this season, they've really only been six deep. And that's going to be a problem if you get some injury issues or just later in the season, guys start to wear down if you don't have any depth. And I think Clemson does have enough talent to potentially challenge for the tournament. But I think it's a little too early to know where exactly they're going to end up, just because of how shallow of a roster they have right now.
Tell me a little bit about a couple of guys, McVay and Gill. Can they snap out? I mean, they're going to have to, but do you think they can get some confidence going Saturday beyond? Because they're going to need, specifically McVay, from outside. I mean, Nebraska's been just not great from three-point land. They need to get something going there. And Gill, and the guy's been a high-profile guy his whole life, and it's just not started off well here, and you know he's pressing. Can they get their mind right? Can Coach Miles help that happen?
Yeah, I think those are the two biggest issues with the team right now. With some of those other freshmen guys, you can't really count on getting serious production from them. But McVay, he went through it all last year. He's one of your starters, one of your best outside shooters. And then Gill, like you said, highly touted guy coming in. He's a junior now. He's spent a year in the program learning last year. You need him to produce off that bench or you're not going to be able to keep up with teams. And both of those guys are really struggling. McVay, I mean, you just look at ever since the first three games of the year, he was just completely falling off a cliff. He scored 11 total points in those four games, and he is 2 of 19 from three in those four games. And that's from your designated shooter guy out there to space the floor. And that's just not going to get it done because Nebraska doesn't have strong shooters outside of McVay for the most part. And I don't know what it is. He's really in a rut right now. Last year you saw he was pretty hit or miss last year, where he had some games where he come in and get hot, knock down 2-3, 4-3s, and then others where he just couldn't find the range. So I don't know, maybe he's just in a little bit of an extended slump right now and he'll snap back out of it. It's not like he's getting terrible looks. He's just missing right now. So that's definitely one that Tim Miles is going to have to figure out. And if he can't start giving you more, I'm not quite sure where they turn. As for Gil, I don't know. He's for a fourth-year junior, he has played very little college basketball. He was a reserve with Louisville, didn't play a whole lot there for 2 years, then came to Nebraska, sat out his year for a redshirt, and then got hurt this summer, this offseason, missed a couple of months of practice leading up to the season. So he really hasn't been able to play very much, and I'm not sure Tim Miles knows what he has in Gil. I'm not sure Gil knows what he needs to be doing for this team. He's kind of out there just looking unsure of himself. Like, you saw that on the travel there where a guy got after him, he got past him, and then just kind of instead of kind of pressing the issue, he just kind of tried to stop and ended up dragging his pivot foot because he didn't know what to do. And I don't know if Miles needs to start trying to call some more plays to get him some looks or what he needs to do, but Gil's got to figure out, because what he's giving him right now is not going to work.
Jacob Padilla with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Jacob, now tell me a thought from the offensive standpoint, and that's been a large scream session by Nebraska fans, the scoring drought, the inability. And I felt pretty good, I mean, scoring drought aside, where they could go high pick and roll, Glenn would do his thing, or they'd work it around, Ty can get to the rack, or they find, you know, Ed down low. And Ed, I love watching Ed play ball, man. I love how fierce he is down low. I know there were some misses yesterday, but he's giving you a double-double. Jacobson showed up. Are you panicked about the offense moving forward? The freshmen seem to get yanked when they screw up. Are you thinking this can kind of come together? You know, Creighton and Kansas loom, so it likely won't happen then. But can this team find its rhythm by Big Ten play? Can they take these tough losses from the last couple of outings against ACC opponents and learn from all this? That's the hope. But do you think there's enough coaching and talent to kind of come together to do it?
The reason for hope is certainly the youth on the team. There are so many guys here that are freshmen or sophomores that they're counting on. And guys that young, naturally, for the most part, as long as they're getting some good coaching, they improve, they kind of figure things out as they go along. So if there's a reason for hope, it would be that. The problem right now is I'm seeing a team that looks a heck of a lot like the last several Nebraska teams, where you've got two dominant perimeter players who control all the scoring, and then very little consistent production outside of those guys. That's what we saw with White and Shields and Pettaway, and teams, when you're that limited offensively, where you only have a couple guys that can score, it's easy for teams to scheme against. And like yesterday, saw Clemson started double teaming Ty Webster, trying to get the ball out of his hands. Ty really struggled, and Glenn ended up having 20 points and scoring as well. But I mean, if you got one guy going for 20, your second best player with more shots than points, then and a supporting cast that doesn't give you a lot, then you're probably going to end up with 58 points like they did. So they're going to need some more out of all those guys. I think what you're getting from Morrow is pretty much what you're going to get. I mean, as a 6'7 post, I think he's limited, especially when you start playing against better teams. So if you're counting on him to give you 15 and 10 every single game, then that might be a little unrealistic. But if you can get some solid production out of Ed and Jacobson, like they did in that game, that should be enough to get you a win. The problem is everybody else. It's McVay and Gil, and you need to find one more guy off that bench, whether it's Roby, whether it's Horn. Maybe you can start getting a little bit more out of Jordy as the season goes on. Because if they keep going like they are now, they're just not going to be able to keep pace with teams that can score.
Tell me a little bit about South Dakota. What have you heard? What do you know about them? We'll talk to Coach Smith tomorrow, obviously, so I'll have a better grasp there. I know there's a couple Lincoln kids coming home. Tell me about the Oats. What do you think of them?
Yeah, they've got off to a pretty decent start. They're 6-3 right now. They've had some close losses, just coming off a 2-point loss to UMKC. So they'll be looking to kind of get back on track. But like you mentioned, they've got some local kids. Tristan Simpson out of North Star was the only player from last season that got a Division I scholarship. He's averaged about 4 points, 3 boards, 2 assists off the bench, and Tristan's a great kid.
Yep, love him.
That's what I'm looking forward to see is I just want to see him play because I'm a big fan of his game and him as a person. So I'm looking forward to seeing him. Then you mentioned Logan Power is a Lincoln Christian kid who walked on last year, and they gave a scholarship over the summer. A lot of people, I'm sure, saw that video. It kind of went viral when the coach told them that it was happening, and that was a really cool moment. So there's a lot of local interest. They've also got Brady Delamont is from Ainsworth and is a walk-on, and Tyler Hagedorn is a reserve big guy for them. He's from Norfolk. So they got a lot of local talent up there. You know, Coach Smith is keeping his Nebraska tie strong here. They've got four guys averaging double figures. They're pretty balanced up and down the lineup. They've got a lot of guys contributing. Matt Mooney and Tyler Flack are their top two scorers, about 14, 13 a game with those two. And those guys are playing really well this year. So you're going to have to look out for them. And I think it'll be a solid test. Nebraska should beat them. But I think South Dakota is definitely improving under Coach Smith.
Got to love Craig Smith and looking for Nebraska to bounce back if you're a Nebraska ball fan. Jacob Padilla, got to read him, got to follow him at JacobPadilla_ on Twitter and on HailVarsity.com and magazine. And, of course, find the premium forum section. Jacob, always willing to chat and keep you updated on the message boards. Jacob, great to catch up, man. I know you're covering volleyball, too. You're doing awesome, and I appreciate the insight and the knowledge, bud.
Yep, thanks for having me, Chris.
Jacob tweeting out volleyball goodies as we speak. And caller number 6 right now, a 6-month premium online subscription to HailVarsity.com. Your 6 months, HailVarsity.com premium online subscription. Caller 6, 466-3776.
Former black shirt, Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, who backed up, Jay? Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker NFLer, Jay Moore, TJ Henning. The Indiana press conference continues on Kevin Wilson. Indiana agreeing to pay Wilson 1 year's base salary of $542,000. Think how much and how far that would go with Deb the Spa Lady. Home Innovation Spas, right? I mean, you got to kind of apply it. Apply it, don't you?
I wouldn't even make a dent in that, and he would be so happy. He'd be so stress-free.
Well, he's going to have time to look at spas now, so.
That's right. That's right.
Deb, how are you?
I'm good. We're enjoying this a little bit nicer weather. I know it's not going to be this way for long. I do know it's December 1st. So how about a great Christmas present for the entire family? Then your shopping would be finished. We'll get it delivered, set up in time. And you can be enjoying it when everyone else is out there going crazy buying gifts. You're just going to be sitting back and enjoying.
Deb the Spa Lady, Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2, spasonline.com, and also a location in Omaha. Deb, tell me, do you have a spa that would fit Santa?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, we do. We could have one that would be one for him all alone.
Okay.
Or he could, you know, all of him and all the elves. You know, I don't know. We've got every size. We've got little two-person spas up to the big swim spas, and we can even make those swim spas happen in time for Christmas. So that would be something your family would just, wow. I don't know if you could ever top that one. So come see us.
I know 20th and Highway 2, they can see you, Deb the Spa Lady in Lincoln. What holiday hours? Tell folks when they can come see you.
We're here 10 to 6 Monday through Friday and 10 to 4 on Saturday.
Deb, we'll be by and we'll pick out that Santa spa, okay?
Okay.
Take
Sounds
care.
Great.
All right. There we go.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. By next week, she'll be all primed up for her Jayhawks Husker showdown.
Yeah. Not much of a showdown.
New. We can put bulletin board material up all we want for the guys. They'll read it and respond. Oregon, how are they going to respond?
Yeah, I don't know.
This happened
yesterday,
and we spent a lot of time.
Is it yesterday night, or is it?
It's
Tuesday. Wednesday.
It's Tuesday.
Tuesday night.
Okay.
So this kind of reminded me of Solich. Did it remind you of the Solich situation?
A little bit. Well,
Solich was there longer,
right?
But I'm talking about
Solich
staying in the family.
3-9 or 4-8 season, whatever Oregon just endured. You know,
now worst was 7-7.
Right. I don't know. This is weird because I want to kind of get into it with Coach Barnett because he's obviously with Colorado now being in the Pac-12. I kind of wanted to see his temperature on it, but
we ran out of time.
Oh, you could always do about an hour with Barney,
mm-hmm.
But where do they go? I mean, here's the deal: is Oregon has been in this
tempo.
They're almost a whole other world up there. Now you're bringing in someone that's going to completely change it. I mean, this is going to take some time up there. I mean, let's be honest. They've had decent recruiting classes. I don't think they've had phenomenal recruiting classes. Again, you're recruiting to their system. Where do they look? I mean, a guy like Charlie Strong now, is that on their radar? Do they look at
– I think they look defense or they look
they, do you go to
best
look at,
available.
Do you look at Luke Fickell, D.C. at Ohio State? Do you look at Kiffin from Alabama? Does he want to get out of Saban's shadow? Do you want to get back into the Pac-12 where he was with SC? Or is that still – tainted?
I think he's kryptonite, man. I think between him and Sark, they'll get a ton of money as coordinators.
Mm-hmm.
Between their off-the-field priorities.
Sure.
It's a no.
Right. I mean, and Frost –
it's not going to work.
We've heard Frost – Scott stood up and said he's not even in the realm of going there. Do you look at is it Taggart now down at South Florida who once Leavitt kind of left there,
mm-hmm.
and now he's kind of helped Colorado get resurrected again? They were in the dumps. They're at 9-2. They're at 9-2 right now. Mm-hmm. I mean,
and they just ran it up on Frost,
right? So do you look at a guy like that? So it's interesting to see where they're going to go. I mean, there's going to be. Here's the thing: when you start a place like Oregon, kind of opens up. You know, the trickle down effect. I mean, Les Miles. What is Houston? I've heard Houston's trying to go after Les Miles. And it's just this kind of, you always start this domino.
And Kiffin.
This domino effect of everything and where you're going to go. But there's really not, I mean, Herman was that guy. Herman was the pretty girl sitting at the bar that mm-hmm. everyone wanted. I mean, Fleck, you know, where does Purdue go? Sounds like Purdue's putting all their chips in for Fleck. So
he is. Why put yourself through that hell?
I don't know.
And go either stay where you're at, be appreciated, get paid,
right.
keep building, or
it.
Go make the jump. And if you lose out, so what? You're getting $10 million because Uncle Phil's going to drop. He said I'll pay as much as $10 million a year
mm-hmm.
for the next head coach. Now that's probably
that's being a little tongue in cheek, I would think, but.
Mm. I don't know.
I don't. And he's obviously
depending on the who. What about Les? Too old?
I don't know.
Too much of a shift?
It's just
because Oregon's been soft. They've been soft.
Yeah, they have been.
And they haven't had to be tough to win the Pac-12, and they've had to do is get into the championship game, and they played Auburn well,
mm-hmm.
didn't beat them, couldn't get mm-hmm. interior runs.
The thing is, I mean, Helfrich was just – I mean, they were in the national championship game against Ohio State two years ago. But obviously with
Mariota.
With Maserati.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
So
– that's the thing, though. Don't kill the guy for – not finding another Marcus Mariota.
Right.
Because they happen about every 20 mm-hmm. years.
Chip Kelly said he has zero interest going back to college. I mean,
I think him and Phil hate each other.
Well, I think
once he looked at Tampa yeah. and had to be talked off the ledge the 12th hour for his last year at Oregon,
mm-hmm.
and then he jumped immediately, I think that relationship's not repairable.
I don't know. Chip's a tough. That's a whole other segment.
It's two egos. Major egos.
I don't know if Chip's going to work in the NFL unless. Unless you get some more buy-in from Kaepernick, because obviously that'd be a perfect fit from there. But Kaepernick is his whole agenda right now is I don't know his he's off his rocker a little bit in my opinion. But it's interesting this whole college football. I mean, I don't know. It's just weird. There's so many. There's no there's no slam dunk guy. Herman was that guy. Where do you go now? And in years past, though, it seems like there was more big ticket spots. Obviously, Texas was that spot.
I mean, you've got Texas open. You had Texas open. You had LSU open. Mm-hmm. You had Oregon. But here's the problem. You had the supply, but
how weird is it for LSU?
But not the demand.
Right.
You had one coach that the world wanted.
Right. But how crazy, you know, LSU, you know, once they kind of figured out Herman wanted Texas, okay, you get Odron. Indiana fires their coach, automatically names Tom Allen their guy. Not even intern, he's their guy. It's just, I think.
And he was going to leave for Ole Miss the defensive coordinator job.
It's just. I mean,
why not give it a run with him?
Mm-hmm. Just, it's interesting, the landscape now. I think schools are trying to pick and choose, obviously, because they don't want to get stuck with the 11 and $12 million buyouts, you know?
And to get somebody that's amazing, you got to spend that.
And there's nothing out there. I mean, Herman was the guy that people were willing to spend that kind of money on.
He's proven it. He proved it as an offensive coordinator in the national title game, and he proved it in a short – I mean, I think Houston's so loaded with talent, you know, especially the conference they're in, but they beat the big boys.
Mm-hmm.
He's – tremendous, and you saw how good he was at Iowa State. But there's just not. You either go recycled or you take a roll of the dice on a coordinator. Hail Varsity continues. We'll wrap up a Thursday.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Perfect idea for you. You get that hot tub from Deb the Spa Lady, and then you go see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman this holiday season. Instant discounts, and they're giving away free trips with qualifying purchase now through December 31st. Get that sweetie of yours the gift she really wants. Watches, rings, bracelets, earrings, necklaces, diamonds, and win a free trip. How's that? Well, see stores for details. I'm talking Vegas. I'm talking Cancun. On top of getting her the bling. Forget Santa, man. You're the hero. 12th and O downtown Lincoln. And, of course, South Point Pavilion Lincoln with Sauter Heyman. Out west, Grand Island. SauterHeyman.com. Go see Rick. Now through December 31st. Instant discounts. Free trips for qualifying purchases. You know there's a necklace you'll love. And I know that you would really enjoy Vegas. And I know you'd love Cancun. And it can all happen with Sauter Heyman. So get there. Quick thought on Chip Kelly. Just two more seconds. Do you think he hates recruiting that much to not come back to college? Because he's got plenty of money. The guy is, well, he's kind of a freak show. He lives alone in the cabin. At least he did in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
He clearly
he's
just eats
cat.
And sleeps football. Mad scientist genius.
Mm-hmm.
And what he brought to college football along with Gus Malzahn is not special anymore because everyone runs the spread and everyone's got 40 uniforms.
Right. I think once coaches get out of college and go to professional, I think they realize, man, although your seat's always a little hotter, maybe.
Yeah, your buyouts, depending on where you're at, your buyouts and pension. And
sure. But dealing with recruiting is exhausting. That is a nonstop thing. I mean, you now when you're in, you know, get to the NFL, you have your player. You have your scouts, and they're handling all that stuff. Then you have your meetings and things like that. But it's not – it's more of an off-season type of deal. During the season, you're really not working with it. And for the most part, I mean, you might have – you're going to have something. Hey, so-and-so's banged up. We're going to need to cut this guy. Sure, okay. You make the move.
You got 8 hours, too, per day to do it.
But it's not, you know, hey, you're making 15 phone calls at night or whatever it is, you know, to recruits and, you know – kissing their asses and all that kind of thing. So it's, I mean, it's, I think he enjoys that part, but I don't know. I think it's interesting because I don't know if it's going to work in the NFL until
it worked in Philly, but I think the power control, well, you tell me, you know, your peeps in Philly.
I don't know. I don't know.
He went 10-6 and he went 8-8.
It works at times.
I think the players hated them.
At times it works, but with that kind of system, you hang your defense out to dry. And when you only have 46 guys suited up for a game and, oh, yeah, three of those are a punter, a long snapper, and a kicker. You have 43 guys. Oh, yeah, and you have offensive linemen. You don't have the numbers like you had in college to have
depth.
The depth. It wears your team out.
And
it
they
does.
Turn and get mad.
Well, he was always very successful beginning of the year.
Yeah, and then faded.
Yeah, you need to play 16 games, not 12. It's hard. It's too much, too demanding on your team.
TJ's telling us to shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Caller six now, the holiday Hail Mary. Schrock tablet, Jet Splash car wash certificate, and, of course, the Auto Sounds automatic starter. Qualify now. Caller 6-466-377-6800-825-5865. Caller six.